Meta practice V1. Afterword, the practice of one life. Afterword, the practice of one life. If you have read this far, you have most of what you need. The argument is simple. A human life becomes more whole, happier, and easier to live when it is organized around one governing orientation, and the orientation most capable of doing that is universal love. The practice that trains it has been refined for thousands of years and is now backed by a substantial scientific literature. It works for the religious and the secular alike. It works in tiny doses at the start and grows into something far larger. The benefits show up early: better sleep, less anxiety, warmer relationships, more positive emotion, and compound for the rest of your life. No retreat is required. No monastery, no new religion, no overhaul of your life. Just two simple commitments, kept with reasonable consistency, for as long as you live. Familiarize yourself with the feeling of metta, by some method, at some daily ritual. Incorporate metta into your life, by returning to it, again and again, in the small and large moments of every ordinary day. That is the entire program. Everything else exists to support it. What happens if you actually do this? If you actually do this, here is what happens. The benefits arrive on a predictable timeline. In the first weeks, you sleep better. Anxiety drops. The mind quiets. Difficult interactions hurt less. You catch yourself smiling at strangers and meaning it. The mood you fall asleep in is warmer than it used to be, and the next day starts from that warmer place. None of this is dramatic, all of it is real. In the first months, your relationships begin to shift visibly. People close to you notice that you are easier to be around. Conflicts resolve faster. You stop carrying minor grievances around like stones in your pocket. Difficult people lose a noticeable amount of their grip on you. You catch yourself drifting earlier, before the damage is done. Self-criticism softens. The practice starts feeling like something you do with yourself rather than to yourself. In the first years, the floor of your emotional life rises sharply. Your worst days become less bad. Your average days become noticeably good. Old grudges lose their pull. You discover, at some point, that someone you used to hate now produces only warmth in you, not approval, not necessarily contact, but warmth. This surprises you. Stress responses calm. Sleep is better than it has been in years. People in your life have begun, quietly, to lean on you. Over decades, what the older traditions describe as boundless metta becomes a real, accessible state. You will not live there permanently, almost no one does, but you will know what it feels like, and you will know how to get back to it. Your nervous system will have been retrained at the level of biology. Old wounds will continue to heal. Death, when it comes, will be approached with much less fear. The mind goes where it has been trained to go, and a mind trained for years in metta goes home, in those final hours, to warmth. What the world looks like when people actually do this. Imagine, for a moment, a world in which most people did this. Most ordinary interactions would carry warmth instead of friction. Most conflicts would resolve at a smaller scale, met with less ill will and more curiosity. The dominant emotional climate of public life would be care rather than competition. Truth-telling and kindness would operate together instead of as alternatives. Most people, most of the time, would be at least slightly inclined to want the people they meet to be well, and they would be acting from that inclination. This wouldn't be utopia. Suffering, conflict, scarcity, illness, and loss would all still happen. The practice does not abolish the conditions of being human. But it does dramatically change the meeting with those conditions, and a world organized around that meeting would be a meaningfully better world than this one, by every measurable index of well-being, by every felt sense of belonging, and by what we would all simply call quality of life. This is not impossible. It is, in fact, considerably less impossible than most things people are currently working very hard at. It does not require political agreement, technological innovation, economic restructuring, or any other massive coordination problem. It requires only that ordinary people, in ordinary numbers, take up an ordinary practice and stay with it. The practice is robust. The benefits are real. The bar for entry is low. I cannot promise that the world will become this way. I can promise that your world will, to the extent that you live the practice. And I can promise that whatever fraction of the world's population learns to live this way is the fraction that will be living the most whole and useful lives available to human beings. The practice of one life. Most of us live many lives, in fragments, taking turns. The practice is the practice of becoming, more and more, one. Not perfectly. Not all at once. Not without setbacks. But genuinely, durably, increasingly, over a lifetime, one. That oneness is not the achievement of having no other selves. It is the achievement of having one root self, from which all your other selves can branch and play. The root self is the one organized by love. It is who you are when you are not contracted into something smaller. It is, the older traditions say, who you have actually been all along. The practice is mostly about getting out of your own way. The warmth is already there. The orientation is already there. The capacity for love is already there. What you are doing, when you practice, is removing the smaller lenses that obscure it. Once they are mostly gone, the love that remains is not something you produced. It is something that was waiting. A final word. Anything worth doing for a lifetime gets harder before it gets easier. This will too. There will be weeks and months when the practice feels like nothing is happening. There will be times when ordinary life will overwhelm it. There will be days when you fail at it completely, hate yourself for failing, and have to remember that that, too, is one of the smaller lenses, and that returning is the whole point. Do not stop. The compounding is real. The benefits are durable. The world needs more of this than it has any right to expect, and yet, somehow, the supply is theoretically unlimited, because the source is in every human being and the cost is essentially zero. May you be happy. May you be free from suffering. May you be safe. May you be at peace. May you live in this love, more and more, all day, for the rest of your life, and may every being you meet feel warmer for having met you. That is the practice. That is the goal. That is enough.